forever. And this is a lesson that Jesus tried to get across to people. Stuff doesn't last forever. See, in our scripture for today, which is in John chapter 6, it picks up just after Jesus has fed the 5,000. And then he goes up on the mountain to pray, and the apostles get in the only boat that's there, and they leave across the Sea of Galilee to the other side. And everybody stayed there, camped out. And they knew that Jesus went up on the mountain, and he didn't get in the boat when it left, and it was the only boat there. And they didn't realize that he came down in the middle of the night and walked across the water to the boat out on the middle. And so they get up in the morning, looking around, and they're like, okay, where is he? So after a while, they go looking for him, and they find him on the other side. And that's where we pick up in our scripture for today in John 6, 25 through 40. Turn with me there if you would. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. Then they said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? Jesus answers them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So they said to him, what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus then said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whomever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Apparently people are taking my words very, very seriously. I think I scared them and they didn't want to shut the door in the nursery. You can shut it while you're in there. You're right, dead on right. They were following directions, and I'm proud of them. I think I scared people. This passage that we just read is one of my favorites for various reasons. I love part of it because Jesus is just plain spoken. He is in your face a little bit and a little bit blunt with people who are being duplicitous and self-serving. This passage, as I said, starts just after they all got fed. And that's what they're really interested in, getting fed. They're like, hey, we ate till we were full. That doesn't happen every day. This guy's got some good stuff. Let's hang out with him. And so when they find him, they go up to him, and they're still a little bit confused as to how he got out of there and went to the other side. And so they're like, Rabbi, when did you come over here? Which, to me, I take that to be kind of shorthand for, we didn't see you leave, and we're kind of waiting around for breakfast. We kind of expected something that you'd whip up for breakfast so we'd have something to eat. We waited out. We slept outside all night just so that you could give us breakfast, and you just kind of ditched us and took off, and that's kind of rude. What are you going to do about it? Jesus is having none of it. He knows exactly why they're there, and he rips into them a little bit. He tells them that they had seen a miracle happen right in front of them. They ate the miracle, and yet they aren't in deep contemplation, wondering about all what this means, that this guy has performed this miracle. Could he be the Messiah? Is this man from God? No, they're going, hey, what about breakfast? None of that's important to them. All they're wondering is, can we get another free meal? This kind of reminds me of an episode of Everybody Loves Raymond. You know that show? Everybody watch that show? Everybody Loves Raymond? I haven't seen a lot of them. I saw a few in the first few years of it, so if it got bad and I'm looking bad up here, I didn't continue watching that show, but... there was this episode of Everybody Loves Raymond where they were having a little bit of a family squabble, which I think is what the show was all about. And the mom and dad had invited the priest from their church over to their house on the pretense of having a lasagna. And the priest comes over there, but what he's really there for is they've also invited the rest of the family over and they're going to have it out. And I don't remember exactly what it was about. There was some kind of moral aspect to it. And they're all just bickering at each other and going at each other and whatnot. And the priest is standing there watching all this. And you're expecting the priest to intervene and set them all straight. And that's why they've kind of, you know, suckered him into being there. And all of a sudden the priest goes, hold on a second. Is there even really a lasagna here? Kind of missing the point. Kind of having the mind on the wrong aspect. It's like, you know, when you've got that target for your hammer, you're holding the nail, and you want to hit the nail right on the head. This whole situation is, you're not just missing the nail, you're like going over 6 inches and hitting your pinky finger. That's how far off target these people are when they are focused on, can I get another freebie, please. After he chastises them for being motivated by the wrong point, he tells them that they need to aim higher. Not just to get a belly full of food, but to work for food which does not rot. He says, "Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him, God the Father has set his seal." This is some deep stuff. He tells them that they should be aiming for eternal life that only he can give to them. And that the miracles that they have seen him do are God's seal on him to show them that he is from God. Proof that he is who he says he is, and they need to look to him and believe in him for eternal life, because it can only come through him. And these folks still just don't get it. They're like, okay, what do we got to do to earn that bread that lasts forever? How can we get that? What's the work that we need to do? And Jesus tells them that the only work that they need to do is to believe. And they're like, believe that you're from God, huh? We got to believe that you're the Messiah and that God sent you here. Well, what are you going to do to prove it to us? I mean, you're kind of asking a lot there, Jesus. The guys back in Moses' day, now they had a reason to believe. It rained bread on them for 40 years. Now at this point, it's a really good thing that it was Jesus talking to them and not me. I would have been much more rude. I would have been like, are you guys brain dead? You're asking for proof? Did you not just all eat, 5,000 of you, that I fed miraculously? And then, by the way, I slipped away by walking across the water? What is wrong with you people? You ate the miracle. How can you stand here and ask for miracles? But you see, their focus isn't on believing. Their focus is on more free bread. They're like, okay, you want us to believe, huh? Well, can you prove it? See, and then they kind of suggest something. They say, Moses, you know, he gave them free bread for 40 years. And it wasn't just a few thousand people, it was the whole nation. What are you going to do? Kind of hint, hint. What can you do for me there, Jesus? And Jesus corrects them. One Moses. It was God that gave that bread. And you know, when I'm reading this, I'm thinking, these guys are just like most people are today. They read the part of the Bible that they like, and they skip over the parts that maybe don't fit in with what they're trying to say. Because two things. They're asking for manna. They're basically saying, hey, give us that manna that Moses gave them. They're forgetting two things about that manna. Number one, that manna rotted in one day. It was no good the next day. Number two, the people hated it after a while. They were given free food, and they're like, oh, that's great now. And then a very short time later, they're like, you know, back in Egypt, when we were slaves back in the good old days, we had vegetables to eat too. And all we have is this stinking bread that rots after one day. And they asked for more. So they were given meat. They had their bread and they had their meat. And guess what, folks? They still weren't happy. By the time they got done eating that stuff for 40 years, they were so sick of it, they never wanted to see it again. And that's how pretty much everybody is. When somebody just gives you stuff, how much do you appreciate it? A little bit, but not as much. When I was about 12, I had been begging my mother for an Atari 2600 gaming system for about 2 years. These were the top of the line super awesome toy to have. And I even told my mom, I said, you know what? It could be my birthday gift and my Christmas gift put together, because I have a birthday in December. And she was like, no. Number one, I think she realized that if I had a gaming toy like that, I would do nothing else and my brain would rot. Number two, they were $125 in 1982. I did the math on it. I checked on it. That's roughly $650 in today's money. It is no wonder that my mom said, ain't happening. So I had a paper route. I mowed lawns. I went out and bought my own Atari 2600 and immediately had buyer's remorse. It was the biggest purchase I'd ever made in my whole life, and I wouldn't make another purchase that big for about 4 years. And I thought, oh, I spent all that money on this. But you know what? Because I had spent all that money on this, I did play that thing until my brain rotted away. I played that thing till I was one of the best players on it in all the school that we had. But if I had just been given it, chances are, by spring, I'd have been going, eh, that's kind of boring. What else you got? Jesus knows this. He knows that they're just asking for a freebie. They're just asking to be given stuff, and their minds are not in the right spot. They just want another free meal. I think this is true of all people at all time, in every situation. We will ask and beg for free stuff, and when we get it, we will not be satisfied or happy with it. Finally, they're kind of getting it that Jesus is talking about something far better than just ordinary bread. That he's offering them something permanent. And they say to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus knows that they still don't fully comprehend the situation. And they still don't believe in him as being from God yet. They know that he can do things for them, but they have no idea what it is that he has come to do for them. Jesus then tells them something that should get their attention. He says, "I am the bread of life." Now, I want to stop right there before we go on, because that was the key to the whole need for them to understand. He says, "I am." They had brought up Moses to Jesus. When Moses met God in the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 through 15, Moses said to God, "If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say to the people of Israel, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations.'" They brought up Moses and said, "Moses gave them all kinds of bread." He said, no. Moses didn't give them a thing. God gave it to them. And then when they're starting to comprehend it, but they're not quite there, he says, "I am the bread of life." And unless they just weren't paying attention at all, they should have completely understood he was saying, "I am God. And I am the bread that will keep you alive forever." But Jesus continues on with his explanation. "Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up in the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Today in churches that try to preach and teach the Bible honestly, we kind of make fun of the health and wealth gospel churches. You know, because they're building mega churches based on the concept that people who go to them are going to get something tangible in this life for following them. They want health and they want wealth. And there are lots of people willing to promise them that if they will just put their seats in the pews and put their offering in the plate. Actually, you know what? You don't even have to put your seat in the pew. You can watch on television and then call in or use your credit card And if you'll just make that donation, God, if you'll just send in your money, God is going to give it back to you tenfold or a hundredfold or a thousandfold. And they're telling people what they want to hear, which is, give me, give me, give me. What can I get from you that I can hold in my hand today? And there's a lot of churches out there willing to do that in order to benefit themselves. And we kind of make fun of churches that do that. Because we look at this situation where Jesus has fed the 5,000, and those people are like, hey, hey, what do you got for me? And Jesus is like, you guys just don't get it. That's not what the whole message is about. It's about more than what you can get. It's about eternity. But here's the funny thing. Even in the churches that are trying to teach and preach the Bible correctly, almost any church growth seminar I've been to or church growth book that I've read, do you know what they say? Figure out what the people want and give it to them. They don't say it quite like that. They couch it in very nice terms about, well, you need to find out where their needs are and meet them there and provide the classes that are needed for them and the child care that they want and this and that and the music they want and this. But it boils down to the same thing. Figure out what people want and give it to them, and you'll grow your church. Now, I'm not against providing good things. I would prefer that it was warmer in here, because we would all like it to be warmer in here. Except Belinda, I think this is the first time I've not seen her fanning herself. She's like, hey, it is great. There's nothing wrong with having the things that we need. Meeting people's needs is a good thing, even when they're physical needs, such as someone who comes in off the street and says, I have no food. Can you help? Those are good things. But that is not what we're supposed to be preaching and teaching, that you can get good things by coming to church. There is one good thing that we can promise you will get by coming to Jesus Christ, and that is eternity with Him. And folks, that should be the biggest, grandest selling point that ever existed. You got a world of dying people out there who are, it's a dog-eat-dog world out there. They're killing each other and killing themselves because there's nothing in their life that has meaning. And Jesus Christ came and said, I am the bread of life. And we need to teach them that. We need to teach them that this is the answer. This is what Jesus came for, to give us life to the full. And that is eternal life. Not just a full belly or a warm body. While those things are good, that's not the full point. The full point is that Jesus Christ came to save a dying and lost world. And that should be the main thing that we're telling people about when we tell them about Jesus Christ. And if you have not given yourself to Jesus Christ, I don't know what you're waiting for, but that is the point. If you have a decision to make today, please come as we stand and sing.